Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I know that I'm sometimes both naughty and nice.
Sometimes I'm nicest when I'm naughtiest.
And I'm already in town, so nobody has to announce that I'm in town. And no, my name is not Santa Claus.
I don't have to. I don't have to do anything. I'm an anarchist.
That's
all
true.
I have to do is breathe and die.
And you don't really even have to do that. You could choose to stop.
Dying, I have to do.
Well, you can't really choose to stop breathing.
Well, I mean, you could.
You can until you pass out, but then you're going to start again.
Yeah.
It lets you like put a bag over your head.
There are ways to choose to stop breathing. You know. At any rate, the list, as I have it written down in front of me, Bitcoin has reached an all-time high.
Yeah.
19.8 or something.
I don't know what the exact number is, but man, that is awesome news.
That's the best news.
Congratulations to anyone who didn't freak out at the last peak and sell,
right?
You know, or like that bought high, right? Like if you bought last time in 2017 at $18,000 or $19,000, and then the price fell down to $5,000, and if you sold at any point along that line, sorry. If you held, you have now actually seen an appreciation in the price of Bitcoin. Everyone who has ever purchased Bitcoin prior to today,
yes,
has seen the price of that Bitcoin go up.
Yep.
We've talked about Van Morrison, the musician,
yeah,
who has written some anti-lockdown songs.
We played one
protest
of them,
songs.
I think, at one point.
We did, and we've talked about it a couple of times when we first heard about it, and then he released the songs, and they're out now. And lyrically, they are exactly what you would expect out of a protest song. They mirror a bunch of things that we have talked about here on Free Talk Live. I think he's written better songs in his life, or he's just sort of, you know, so caught up in his own, you know, thing that his songs kind of sound the same to me. But
it would be a hard one to write about. It really would, I think.
Well,
he did it and made multiple songs. Now, did he play with Clapton recently?
This is what I wanted to talk about. I brought the article in that Clapton has joined him for a protest track.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I've been asking, where are all the rock and roll rebels, right? And and there aren't any, apparently, except for Eric Clapton.
Wow.
Now,
for him.
David Twister's sister's just going to take it.
Yeah, they're just going to roll over and take it. So
they're begging for it.
We could talk about that.
We're just going to take it like a whore.
The Department of Justice argues that the United States can kill citizens at its discretion under state secrets privilege. And that's a pretty alarming thing for those of you who perhaps aren't familiar with my anti-government views anyway.
Yeah, I mean, when you first talked about this, it rang a bell. When you told me about it off the air, it rang a bell with me. I felt like this story already happened a few years ago. Or that there were arguments being made about it. It might have even been, you know, during the Obama administration. It just seems so familiar to me. Maybe they're trotting out something very similar, or maybe they're taking it just another step further, but it really sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's not the first time, and we know that the United States has already killed U.S. citizens without due process.
Oh, you know what? I think I remember what it was. It was that they were justifying killing U.S. people outside of the United States previously.
I do recall that.
And now they're justifying it inside
the
United States.
That was, I believe, some of the Obama bombings.
I think so.
Where he killed an actual U.S. citizen that was somehow related to some terrorist or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
so now they're going, all right, well, we could do it there. We can do it here.
They want to do it here.
Right, so that's
what
they're changing now.
Yeah. So this case involves two journalists who say the U.S. wrongly labeled them as terrorists. Not every judge on the panel was convinced. Judge Karen Henderson, yep, it's a Karen, called these allegations a spectacular delusion of some sort of grandeur since the missile strikes occurred in Syria in 2016.
So she thinks he's not serious.
Yeah, during ongoing civil war, bomb and missile strikes were frequent occurrences during that time. The government argues that Karim's allegations are not plausible enough to move the case forward past the pleading stage.
So he's trying to sue them?
It's not plausible that the government's going around whacking people?
Well, Karim alleges, however, that his vehicle was hit twice and his office was hit twice, indicating precision strikes. It is a significant part of the lawsuit.
Not good enough precision. He's still cooking.
Yeah. It's a significant part of the lawsuit as the D.C. Court of Appeals panel spent a lot of time on whether Karim has standing. since he's offering circumstantial evidence of being on the U.S. kill list. So the state secrets privilege.
But wait a minute. This guy was in Syria, you said, at the time?
Correct.
Okay.
That's what this is alluding to. So the state secrets privilege, should the panel find Karim has standing, which was by no means clear from the oral arguments, the panel must decide what to do with the merits of the case. Under the doctrine of state secrets privilege, the federal government can block information that would compromise U.S. national security if released in litigation. This just in, as if this is breaking news, our crack reporter Ian Freeman.
Guido Sarducci is still dead.
Our crack investigative reporter Ian Freeman.
I don't do crack, man. I'm not into that.
You haven't investigated crack?
I mean, I know a little bit about it, but I definitely don't do crack.
You're probably more knowledgeable about the subject than I am.
Probably not that much more.
Yeah. No, I've heard it kills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't recommend it.
At any rate, he has unearthed.
We are going to be talking about drugs here.
We are. He has unearthed an article that says a New York City pub refuses to obey.
Yes, and I love stories like this, and this is, and it's rare that you see anything ever like this.
So just to bring our listeners up to speed, New York City is the most locked down, Gestapo-ish area, in my opinion, in the entire United States.
San Francisco is pretty bad, too, from what I understand.
It is. Seattle's also bad. There. You know, yeah. The big cities are worse than that, but New York City seems to, and maybe it's because we're somewhat near, you know, it's an East Coast thing or something. I hear about it more, but it is horrible as far as the lockdown mandates are concerned. But somebody is standing up for themselves?
Well, a few somebodies. I mean, there's obviously been the Jewish Hasidic Jewish community there that has thrown weddings and funerals with hundreds, if not thousands, of attendees, and they were recently in the news.
Every law, every license, every mandate is a piece of paper with a gun behind it.
Yes, and probably more than one gun. In this particular case, because they'll likely send
all
a gang.
Of the guns of the state.
Yeah, they'll send a gang down there to close them down. Or will they? And do they have a community nearby that can come to their defense, like, say, responding to a call out on something like a cell 411, which hopefully we'll have some good news about very soon. And you can go to copblock.app to learn more about some of the goings on there. But going on here with this story. At this point, we're okay with it because we're not paying it, said the owner or co-owner, Danny Presti. He said the sheriff's department is issuing us $1,000 fines, so they keep coming back. We're still here. We're not letting them in.
Nice. Wait, how far is New York from here?
About 4.5 hours.
Well, if he's not letting them in, then technically he's not open to the public. He's selective.
We need to get like a carpool and do like a
I'm not going anywhere near that city.
Good God, no.
Sorry, man.
I'm thirsty. I want to go to a bar.
You can go tell him to come up here. I'll buy him a couple of drinks.
The drinks are a little pricey, but fuck Keene Grade will serve you in downtown Keene, and they don't require any
I know.
Masks.
I want to, like, if I were there, I would patronize this guy's
I
place,
hope
is
that
what I'm
people
saying.
Are. I hope people are coming in there by the droves.
If you're in or anywhere near New York City, please go.
Apparently, the alcohol's free, but tips are recommended as far as, you know, you may want to tip. About the value of what you thought the service was that you received, or more.
If you're
more,
getting free booze and you're not giving a tip, there's something wrong with you. Change your ways.
Imagine you'll get thrown out real fast if you don't tip after getting free booze.
It's at 130 Lincoln Avenue, Staten Island, New York, by the way, if you wanted to know.
Co-owner, this is according to the New York Post, that's reporting on the story here that they've declared themselves an autonomous zone and have said that the governor and the mayor's ordinances and their, you know, or their executive orders, emergency orders, do not apply. They will be ignoring them, even though they've had the liquor permit pulled, the health department permit pulled. They're continuing to operate, and customers were in there, according to the story here. About five customers. Wearing face masks, sadly, showed up in about a two-hour span to support the bar, which appeared to be exploiting a loophole for businesses in Cuomo's executive order by not actually charging customers.
See, I think it's good that there are actually masky people who realize that even if they agree with them on the science, they don't have a right to do what they're doing, because that's it's an easy argument to make, easier argument to make than the scientific argument, because most people just figure, I don't know anything about science, I just got to believe what they tell me.
You know, we haven't seen enough pushback of refusing, and I don't like the term pushback, because I don't want to push the government. I just want them to leave me alone. Yeah. So, we haven't seen enough operational freedom. We haven't seen enough business owners stepping out there.
The government is a bully. The government meets every definition. It's the world's largest bully.
Well, and you got to treat bullies in a certain way.
Right.
You don't let them push you around.
You have to stand up to them. That's the only way they back down.
No. So I want you to go to the window, and I want you to open it up, and I want you to yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So kudos to this particular tavern there in New York, Staten Island. And once again, it is Max Public House in Grant City. Heroic.
I can't say enough. If you own a small business, consider having the balls to stay open amongst all of this crap and stand up not only for yourself but for other people too, because you may have the courage that other people don't. And I think what you will find is that if you do stand up, you will find that other folks will applaud that specific courage and support you, as his customers obviously have.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great. I just scanned through an article. Apparently, they're also offering merchandise for sale in an effort to cover, you know, their legal costs. It looks like they face up to $10,000 fines per day.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
As you folks may or may not know, I spent a bit of time in the Seattle area playing heavy metal music. I also do parodies. You can actually hear a parody of mine over at lordkickass.com. And I've been wondering for quite some time, where are all the rock and roll rebels when it comes to telling the government to go F themselves regarding these lockdowns and the mask mandates and all this kind of stuff?
Maybe rock and roll's dead.
I have been thoroughly disappointed by the most, you know, what is at least purported to be the most rebellious. Punk rock and heavy metal in particular are purported to be the most rebellious of, you know, those forms of music or those forms of rock and roll.
Nah, and it's the hippies.
And I think that my latest parody is more heavy metal and punk rock than anything that's been done by heavy metal or punk rock artists. And it's a parody of a Beatles song, so it's not very punk rock or heavy metal. but that being said, we did find that Mr. Van Morrison, he wrote, I think his most popular song is Brown Eyed Girl. He did actually an EP, three tracks of nothing but anti-lockdown songs. And we mentioned him here a few times on Free Talk Live. I think we even played one of his songs. Or
we did,
part of one. And we applaud him for doing that. He's actually trying to organize, you know, some sort of musicians getting together and, you know, help end all of this kind of thing. Morrison, best known for songs like Brown Eyed Girl, Domino, and Wild Night, as well as seminal albums Moondance and Astral Weeks, released three songs protesting the UK lockdown over September and October, titled Born to Be Free, As I Walked Out, and No More Lockdown.
Okay, so this is brand new, then.
So this is new.
Now, is it out yet? Or are they announcing that this is a thing that's going to happen?
They've announced a new single.
Gotcha.
So I haven't seen it. There wasn't a link to it, so I don't
look around.
We'll find out. I think the article mentions a release date a little further down.
2 days ago, they tease the new anti-lockdown song.
Stop teasing.
You tease. Proceeds from Stand and Deliver will go to Morrison's lockdown financial hardship fund, which helps musicians facing difficulties as a result of the coronavirus and resulting lockdown measures.
Interesting.
We've covered a little bit of that. I know there was a Save Our Stages something along those lines.
Hashtag.
Yeah, which was basically a fund to get some lawyers to beg the government for permission to open back up and start having shows. Whereas I would prefer to see a fund put together where it would encourage musicians just to go ahead and put together their own gigs. I mean, all you need is a gas-powered generator, a PA system, and a willing band. This article does mention December 4th as the release date for this collaborative tune between Van Morrison and Eric Clapton.
That's this Friday.
Groovy, day before my birthday.
It's called Stand and Deliver. It'll be available for download and streaming from iTunes, Amazon Music, Deezer, and all other outlets. I've never heard of Deezer. On December 4th. You had an interesting quote from Sir Eric Clapton. I'm calling him Sir. I don't know if he's knighted or not, but whatever.
I believe he is.
I think he was.
I mean, he might as well be. He's sold more than 100 million albums in his lifetime and has 8 Grammys, according to Wikipedia anyway.
This actually is coming from the Billboard report about the same story. He said in a statement announcing the protest anthems, quote, "I'm not telling people what to do or think. The government is doing a great job of that already. It's about freedom of choice. I believe people should have the right to think for themselves."
Oh, man.
My body, my choice.
I wonder if there's a sound clip of him like actually saying that. That would be cool to have. Just a clip of that.
But yeah, kudos to Clapton for being willing to put his reputation on the line. Most people don't have this level of courage.
Yeah.
So right on.
And this article just goes on to say, "Eric's recording is fantastic and will clearly resonate with the many who share our frustration," said Morrison. I wanted to talk a little bit about this article out of the state of Illinois.
Oh, it's going to be bad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. This is from IllinoisPolicy.org, and this headline reads, "Shop small, get smaller in Illinois with 11,200 fewer shop owners."
Yeesh.
So this came about right before Small Business Saturday.
Right. Shop small is a small business promotional effort by, of all places, American Express. So I happen to know that it exists because our friends Colleen and Chris, who are opening up a convenience store, they had the sticker for this a few years ago. The American Express people were pitching it around, which to me seems, you know, disingenuous. I'm not saying our friends are being disingenuous,
right.
But for American Express to be promoting Shop Small, one of the largest credit card corporations on the planet.
I saw something equally obtuse. I saw an ad for Small Business Saturday from Amazon.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Saying Shop Small Business Saturday at Amazon.
Well, okay. You could make the argument that Amazon does have small businesses that are its sellers.
I'm sure they would make that argument.
Like our co-host Conan, for instance, sells books via Amazon.
Right.
But yeah, it's a stretch.
You can get your items sold through the Amazon website.
And they take a huge chunk. Fewer shop owners. Earlier when you teased the story, nobody had sort of thought this might have meant that they could reopen. This isn't people who've just stopped temporarily, it sounds like. That sounds to me like these are people who are done. They're out of business.
I don't know if the article gets that specific, but we will find out. After Black Friday comes Small Business Saturday. Now, keep in mind, this article was written before the weekend, so you have to imagine it's 2 days ago, because I'd need to read this in the past tense, or the past tense.
Yep.
After Black Friday comes Small Business Saturday, when Americans are encouraged to support their local retailers, but there will be over 11,200 fewer Illinoisians. I don't know if that's right. Illinoisans.
It sounds like it's a little more Illinoisy than they usually say.
They're annoying.
There will be 11,200 fewer folks from Illinois running retail stores on November 28th, thanks to the state mandated lockdowns. And when it is time to take a shopping break to eat or drink, there will be nearly 17,600 fewer Illinois bar and restaurant owners to serve you. If 17,600 restaurants would just go ahead and open,
I mean, I'd take 10%. I mean, you know, the odds that 100% of people are going to do this.
A thousand of these businesses could get together and go, you know what? F the government.
Don't
let's
get together.
Open.
Don't wait for somebody else. I mean, I get that. I get that people want to hold hands together, but these guys.
Getting together is a good thing, but just somebody do it.
Yeah.
And the rest of us can join them.
Right. They got to have a leader. Somebody has to step out there.
The article continues, while it is still too early to tell just how many of these closures will be permanent.
Oh, okay.
The reinstatement, I'm laughing because I don't think it's too early to tell.
Yeah.
The reinstatement of Tier 3 mitigation protocols November 20th that limit economic activity without substantial government relief of any form make permanent business closures far more likely. Mm-hmm. It isn't
as in inevitable, as in their businesses have been stolen by the government.
Yeah, it isn't just the business owners who are hurting this holiday season. Illinois job counts remain down more than 415,000 relative to pre-pandemic levels. For the accommodation and food services sector, employment is down 108,600 compared to February. You had some thoughts on chemtrails, so go ahead.
I do, and I'm sure some of the callers know that I'm also a pilot. I don't fly the big jets. I fly a little airplane, but
it's not pronounced pilo.
What?
it's not pronounced pilo.
Pilo? No, I don't know. I've never heard that.
Like Merlot, right?
So anyway, the whole thing about chemtrails, it's really. People need to look at things logically. Try to imagine what you're presenting and then try and figure out what it takes to have that kind of a thing. So they're trying to claim that all these streaks in the sky are chemicals being sprayed by the government for whatever nefarious reason. First of all, the government isn't capable enough and competent enough to pull something like that off, because in order for the government to put that many streaks in the sky, it would require fleets of thousands of aircraft. And even so, spraying something at altitude, which is over 30,000 feet, is not going to really present the chemicals where you want them to be, because up there you have the winds aloft, they're going like, you know, several hundred miles an hour.
While the increases in employment in any area of the economy are a positive sign, they're referring to the big corporations seeing a bit of an uptick in hiring while all the small businesses have had to shutter. These trends reveal the disproportionate impact of COVID-19 and state-mandated lockdowns on small businesses. Making matters even worse, Illinois has experienced two consecutive months of payroll declines. Even as the rest
now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they've been trimming jobs? Is that what a payroll decline is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's a different way of measuring employment, right? Instead of unemployment, which we know there's so many different ways to slice and dice what when the government and the media say, well, unemployment is up or down. There's so many different ways to slice and dice that. A different way of looking at unemployment is seeing how many people are getting a paycheck this, you know, 2 weeks or this month versus the same time last year. That's a payroll decline. Even as the rest of the nation continues its recovery, more than 100,000 Illinois folks gave up their job search altogether last month.
Wow. Well, I guess they're going on welfare.
Yeah. Many of the industries that remain the most affected are industries that will be most tightly restricted under the Tier 3 mitigation measures. You know, we were just discussing off air that's, you know, the entertainment industry basically doesn't exist right now. I mean, outside of a few, you know, television shows and movies.
Well, the parts of it that exist to manipulate us does.
Well, right.
Yeah.
But outside of, you know, TV shows and movies that were sort of already in the works.
Mm-hmm. They are making some new TV series.
A few.
That is happening. In fact, there's articles out there about how, I had one in show prep a few weeks ago, but we didn't get to it, about how, like, The Walking Dead is filming now with COVID-restricted filming, and they're bragging about all the extra steps.
Are the zombies going to be running around wearing masks?
I don't think so, but they're not going to show, I don't think.
I mean,
the
I don't mean in
show.
Like regular life like we see now, the zombies running around with masks. I mean in the TV show The Walking Dead.
No, I don't think the maskiness is not going to likely invade the plot of the show, but they, at least I hope not. But they are, you know, bragging about all the behind-the-scenes things they're doing to distance from one another and et cetera, et cetera. Every company, right, even the movie companies, they got to brag to their customers and their buyers about how safe. We're so safe now. Look how safe we are here on the Walking Dead set. And it's pretty sad, but that's what's going on.
I just want to take a minute.
I always love to, you know, watch pussies act.
Congress set to vote on MORE Act the first week of December. If you don't know what the MORE Act is, I'm going to tell you. It's the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act of 2019.
Okay.
It has has been set for vote by Congress between December 2nd and 4th of 2020. So just a few days away. The MORE Act, sponsored by Vice President-elect Kamala Toe Harris, decriminalizes marijuana at the federal level and allows the states to set their cannabis regulation policies. A significant highlight of the bill includes expungements of convictions for many federal marijuana-related offenses and a 5% commercial cannabis tax towards communities affected by the war on drugs.
A federal sales tax.
Yeah, federal sales tax.
So they're going to tax us to pay for the damage they did with the war on drugs.
The taxpayer always loses, as we know. So, of course, what I deem the good news is the expungement of federal marijuana-related offenses.
How many items, before we go on, are taxed federally? I mean, you know, cell phones and phone lines obviously have federal taxes on them. Just trying to think offhand. I mean, gasoline, that's going to have a federal tax on it.
What about automobile sales?
Can New Hampshire... If New Hampshire, for instance, legalizes cannabis, they have decrim in New Hampshire, and actually I kind of like the idea of just decriminalizing it all the way down to no penalty whatsoever.
Well, real decriminalization, not this fake decriminalization where it's still a law on the books, but they make it the lowest priority of prosecution.
Yeah, it's not there yet. We're not even that far with decrim, Captain. They still, I don't know what the priority of it is, but they can still fine you $100 for possession of under 0.75 ounce here in New Hampshire. But it is, it does seem to be a lot better than it used to be as far as enforcement of those things is concerned.
Yeah.
But I just wonder could New Hampshire say, you know what, we're not going to collect that tax. We're not going to force our companies that are creating cannabis here in New Hampshire to collect the 5%.
Right.
What are you going to do, feds?
And what exactly do they mean by a 5% commercial cannabis tax towards communities affected by the war on drugs? I mean, aren't all communities affected by that?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Somebody's
going to get politically benefited on that one.
Right. Who decides who these communities are and aren't?
Kamala Harris. She wrote the bill.
Yeah.
Ian, what's going on in London?
People are actually taken to the streets in an anti-lockdown protest with large numbers attending. In fact, so large that they actually arrested over 150 of these people. We're talking about likely thousands of people in the streets just based on some of the footage that I've seen.
Are they keeping them 6 feet apart in jail?
That's a good question.
Or what about even in the... assumably, when they're arresting that large number of people, they have one of these buses to put the people in. I wonder if they're socially distancing their prisoners there.
I don't know about that. You know, ultimately, these jails only have so much room.
Right.
So if you can successfully overwhelm the system with large numbers, they can only put so many of you, whether they're doing social distancing or not, they can only put so many of them behind bars, which is why having numbers on your side is so important, because you really can do almost anything that you want to do if you have enough people that are backing you, whether that be ignore the government or take it down. Once you have enough people on your side, you can do whatever.
Right.
More than 150 arrested, according to TheGuardian.com, as anti-lockdown protesters clashed with police in central London after officers sought to break up the demonstration. They said 155 arrests were made over the weekend for offenses including breaching coronavirus regulations, assaulting a police officer, and possession of drugs.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more all for free at freetalklive.com.